You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
As if they don't have too much on their plates, the Kings of Combat Sports podcast, John and Wade. They talk about the things they did that day. They'll analyze the work of Triple H. We want to SmackDown.
Oh boy, and if you rewind to the start of this XL version of the show, you're going to get 50 minutes of news discussion. Wei takes his children.
I don't think we have to talk about SmackDown. I feel like we've already done the show.
Yeah, we kind of can just skip through this. I mean, yeah. Cody came back. That's it. Yes, we talked about Jerry Lawler. He's recovering from his latest stroke. Big discussion on today's press conference. WrestleMania going to Saudi Arabia in 2027. And who is Turkey Al-Sheikh's father? We parse words. Issues involving media members on the ground for Crawford and Canelo. This is the most boxing media we've gotten into in some time. And then, some updates on the N1 tournament and lots more. Big discussions on the news portion. So I enjoyed that.
A lot of conversation about WrestleMania 43 going to Saudi, all of those implications. And I'm sure a lot more discussion to be had in the days and weeks and year to come.
And opinion pieces, too, aplenty. Up at postwrestling.com, Brandon Thurston, penning his finest and latest up on the site now on what a great deal this is for WWE.
Yeah, for those of you who are on the free feed, go to postwrestling.com. Opinion. I hate politics. That's why I'm going to love WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia. This is the title of this article by Brandon Thurston that is on our site right now. Read it for yourself and come back to us and let us know what you thought in the comments, as many people have.
We'll also make mention that for members of the Post Wrestling Cafe, where $6 a month gets you all access to all of our shows, we dropped maybe our biggest Ask Away to date. We had 2 months worth of questions to get to. I think this one clocked in at well over the 2-hour mark. And we went through a lot of interesting topics, very good questions that we got throughout this. And a story about the Tooth Fairy as well.
Oh my goodness. One of the I'm sorry. I texted your wife, I'm sorry, actually.
We accepted. I'm trying to send people to the show. They can get the full context of it there. But a great ask away, as always. So check that out. Collision Course will be dropping Saturday night with Bruce Lord and Kate from Montreal. And then the NWA podcast here on this channel Sunday night. Tune in, as they will be going through. We don't know, but it should be must listen regardless.
I'm sure a lot. No matter what it is, I feel it will be quite engaging. Yeah.
On to SmackDown. They were at the Norfolk Scope in Norfolk, the home of Nate Milton, host of the NWA Norfolk podcast.
I thought it was
Norfolk.
Like
Norfolk.
Yeah.
8,552 per WrestleTix. And during our entrances, it was the return. Forget Cody. It was the return of LaBooBoo with Jade Cargill.
Oh, that's right. Yes. We all know what this is now. Yeah, not like 3 months ago, John, when none of us, you know,
weren't cool enough to get Little
Boo Boo. Yeah, is that her daughter's toy? No. Do you have one?
A Labubu? No, haven't entered that phase yet. Did you hear the Super Mario Brothers movie has been announced for April? Super Mario Brothers Galaxy, the movie?
I had not heard about it. Why do you bring that up?
This is a big deal today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you bring it up now?
I'm just saying it was announced today.
Talking about trends?
Yes. I want to get ahead of this one, I'm pretty sure most people are aware of this. Joe Tessitore, who hosted the press conference, had other commitments. So tonight we got Vic Joseph and Booker T on commentary. It's like, oh my goodness, am I ready for 2 hours of
Booker
T? Well,
Vic is usually off on Fridays, isn't he?
Yes.
So, because he's got football.
No, you're talking about Tessitore.
Sorry. Yes, I mean Tessitore. Tessitore is off on Fridays.
Yes.
Because he's doing football.
Yes.
But I guess today he was still able to do football.
Well, it was early enough that he could do the press conference, and I'm sure he did football afterwards. And,
so, but Cole's role is now SmackDown. And Cole is busy too, I'm assuming?
I guess so.
Okay.
I don't know. We got these two. So,
well, I thought it was a good excuse to audition these two, you know?
How did they do?
I thought they did fine. Like, they did an adequate job. I think Joseph does a very good job. I think Booker has become, to me, tolerable, with instances of like being actually quite enjoyable, but it's still not my preferred team.
Yeah, Booker T is definitely an acquired taste. Vic is fine. Vic's very professional in the role. I wouldn't say, you know, he's a very good professional broadcaster. I don't think he's a 10, but I don't think he's like he's perfectly fine for the role. And I think if they needed someone in a pinch, he can absolutely be inserted and do the job here. Well, let's get into Brock Lesnar. This segment, he comes out. Crowd is pretty vociferous, chanting "You suck," and he is interrupted by R-Truth. So Truth comes out, and Lesnar immediately shuts him down. Truth welcomes Brock back and says that he's not scared of him anymore. And Lesnar doesn't know who he is, so he explains that "I'm John Cena's older brother, and you've been disrespecting Cena for 25 years, and he does admit his name is R-Truth.
Well, he says his name is Ron Cena now.
Well, he said R-Truth, and then he said Ron Cena.
Yeah. No matter what it is, it's no longer Ron Killings, okay? That is far done and over with. Doesn't matter if the hat's facing forwards or backwards. We're not even teasing any sort of Jekyll and Hyde bullshit. He comes out here rapping. We got the extended rap this week, so he was like extra corny. But then came out and just basically did his usual R-Truth shtick.
So Lesnar, do you think that Brock Lesnar has cable? Do you think he's a cord cutter or a cord never?
I would think he has cable, but I would also assume he doesn't watch that much of it, maybe. He seems like outdoors in a shed type of guy.
Well, I wish he was, because he might have caught that last week was John Cena's final SmackDown ever. And so Brock came to SmackDown this week looking for John Cena. And Truth explains, "I don't know where he is, but I'm here to defend him. And we're just going in circles." Lesnar keeps asking him why he's here in my ring. And Truth warns him that Super Cena is coming. And the big punchline is Brock saying, "Hey, you're missing a tooth." And R-Truth is like, "Oh, no. Am I going to get a visit from the Tooth Fairy?" And Brock hits him with the F5. And in doing so, tears open the back of his jeans, revealing his blue underwear, as he proceeded to go to the back, so proud of this accomplishment. And then he's like slapping hands on the way to the back.
Yeah.
I don't know what this guy's contract entails, but what a nothing segment.
So a bit of a nothing segment, but I feel like there's so much for us to talk about here, okay?
Like how was this the idea for a week where we've got a video package that was like, what, 1,000 times more effective than this 10 minutes?
Well, of course, but then you can't bill Brock Lesnar being present, right, on the show.
Oh,
so let's just say, like, I did not expect Brock Lesnar to come out, to come here, like, on this show, his first real sort of, like, speaking appearance. I did not expect him to be in what essentially, not even, like, because of the pants rip, but what essentially was scripted as a bit of a comedic segment here. He is sharing the screen with the fully rebooted R-Truth at this point, and essentially had to play like a comedy scene with him, you know, like he had to play around and toy with this, like, you know, R-Truth asking how old he is, are you really John Cena's brother, and all that. And of course it ended with, like, you know, an F5 to the Truth that I think was supposed to generate a level of sympathy for Truth, and we're supposed to hate Brock coming out of it.
Oh,
but that was really not how this ended too. And obviously the pants rip is probably going to be the one of the more talked about things coming out of this, and it clearly shook Brock a little bit because he's probably not used to, like, being laughed at, and he had to play it off, and I think his natural reaction was probably to make fun of it, and
he just played like giddy Brock Lesnar that he was doing like several years ago.
Boombox Brock. But that's how this segment ended. It ended with Brock feeling like a baby face. It ended with Brock feeling like, you know, fun Uncle Brock with the boombox and just having fun. And I don't know if that was the intent to begin with. It certainly doesn't make sense with the Cena program.
Yeah, I just thought this segment was just a total miss.
Beyond that, like, though, I can also assume, though, that WWE probably wouldn't be too unhappy with how this was, because ultimately I think they're happy if this results in the Edge being taken off of, like, if it shifts Brock away from people thinking of him as somebody who's playing a role in a sex trafficking scandal to one of now that might, you know, might be more of a friendly giant that people can relax around and maybe even laugh at. Like, I ultimately think that they probably wouldn't be unhappy with the way that this turned out.
Yeah, I, again, like, going to our Vince discussion, like, I don't know how much of that is even a factor at this point. Like, the audience pops when he comes out. It's like, if you're like, he's getting chance of you suck at him, and that's totally in line with the reaction you would think they want to elicit. And yeah, it did. It to me was just one where it was like, okay, we don't have John Cena and we've got Brock for a week. And what do we do with him? And this was what they came up with. So, I mean, it's...
Well, it certainly shows you how limited Brock Lesnar still is on the microphone. Like, he's, you know, he can't really do much. But physically, he obviously, you know, it still appears very special. But this scene with the Truth, I don't think worked at all.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sami Zayn's backstage speaking to someone off screen who will accept the open challenge, and it's revealed to be Rey Fénix. this was awesome. Going to be our match to come.
Perfect type of opponent to set the tone for this open challenge, you know, much like the John Cena one. I mean, the intent of this open challenge challenge was to showcase several mid-carders who otherwise wouldn't get that much airtime, and Rey Fénix completely falls into that.
Yeah. Could you imagine, like, his options tonight would have been facing Sami Zayn for this amazing TV match, or we're going to seat you in the crowd at Worlds Collide and show you in between matches waving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are probably his options for the night. What they did, what was unique, because the Worlds Collide show was coming up, they showed the entrances throughout the night of people on the Worlds Collide show appearing, including a Dorian Rodan and Marcelia Pena, as well as Paul Levesque and Shawn Michaels running into the backup bass player.
IT.
There's something there.
No, yeah.
Okay. Solo Sikoa video package. He sacrificed so much for that U.S. title. He's lost the bloodline, lost Ula Fala and the U.S. belt. But change is going to happen. He's going to take back what he lost and is tired of living in the shadows of others.
How did he lose his bloodline? I guess he's no longer affiliated with what?
Not the main bloodline. Now it's the MFTs that he's got. So he's lost Roman and the Usos.
I thought that was his new bloodline.
Well, they're rebranded.
I guess none of them are actually related to him. Maybe that's what he means.
Yes.
Okay. So he's going back after Sami's title, it sounds like.
I guess so. This feels like the House of Torture. Sami Zayn and Rey Fénix for the U.S. belt. This match was excellent. This was like one of the better WWE TV matches in a while. So Fénix hits this beautiful tornillo over the floor, and then we just watch these two, just tremendous chemistry. Fénix spins into a head kick, goes for a moonsault off the top and misses, and Sami would try the Huluva kick multiple times, and it would be Fénix thwarting it, first with a rolling DDT, then he hits a double stomp to Zayn, who's seated on the top, double springboard moonsault, and then goes for a handspring. It's caught into a Blue Thunder Bomb for a big near fall, and Zayn just can't believe it. So he hits the exploder. Huluva gets stopped with a Rana, and Fénix hooks the legs for a two count, goes for the goodbye amigo, and then Zayn ducks a spinning head kick and hits the exploder, and on the third try, lands the Huluva. 15 minutes and 51 seconds. Excellent match.
What a match.
Incredible. Highlight of the show for me.
Incredible reactions from this crowd. I think 2 weeks in a row now. How long was this match, John?
Just under 16 minutes.
Oh, my God.
But they did have the commercials in there. But
Cena match was, what, 20? North of 20, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, I mean, 2 weeks in a row now, we're getting like these like 15 to 20 minute Sami Zayn matches. And if that is the tone that we're setting for this open challenge, I'm already on board for it in a big way, because I think Sami is probably the best person you can trust at a pretty high level, you know, with that sort of consistency in delivering a high quality match like this at that length on every single one of these shows. Obviously, the point of this open challenge isn't just to build Sami. It's not just to build the title, but it's to spotlight these guys who otherwise wouldn't have a role in the show. People who audiences may consider underrated or underutilized. And Fénix was a perfect candidate. Great showcase of his abilities here, and got the audience believing. So
this might have been like the best Rey Fénix performance coming into WWE.
Could have been, for sure. Yeah.
Like, I thought this was, for a guy that's kind of been lukewarm, I thought this was much needed for Fénix, and hopefully something that he can get a bit of a jolt from this performance. But
that sort of is the question. He's going to probably build, like, give this sort of spotlight every week to one of these guys. But how much room is there on the show to actually make something out of a Rey Fénix or whomever, right? But at least it reminds people that, hey, this guy's really talented and he's not really being used. I also think, like, for Sami, I always thought, like, maybe going to the U.S. title might be beneath him at this point. He's already won the IC so many times. But having this open challenge wrinkle attached to it suddenly makes the U.S. championship, to me, a much more worthwhile addition to his already very, like, storied career. And might just be the thing that might escalate him to that world title level in people's eyes.
So check this match out if you missed SmackDown. Earlier in the day, B-Fab is on her phone when Julia and Kiana James walk in. And B-Fab's been busy with all the Street Profits drama, but she's not busy anymore. And it's Julia making the challenge for a match tonight. Wyatt 6 promo. Bo Dallas asks where the Street Profits go from here. They were tested in Paris and they failed. Rowan says people don't appreciate what they have until it's gone, and encourages the prophets to let the disease consume you. I wouldn't recommend that. And they planted the seeds and now they're sprouting. So did they like get injected with something in France that they're now, you know, do they have some like disease that they're need to be vaccinated from?
Distrust. Oh, that's what they injected them with.
Oh, yeah. Can you get a shot to restore one's trust?
They're the cure. And also wait, that's Aleister Black's promo. Aleister Black is that's the coming up. And the antidote. Yeah. I get confused with these two groups because their promos are very similar and they're on the same show. And just like, they're both like, they both sound really good, but they also, I don't know, are just completely forgettable at the same time. So the prophets are turning on are teasing dissent. Fuck, whatever. Like, who cares? Like, it's like, you know, every team kind of goes through that. But the Wyatts are taking credit for it. All right.
Okay. Do you still trust me?
We haven't faced the Wyatts yet, so I trust you.
Yeah. Well, I am the sickness. Just remember that. Julia and B-Fab doesn't even get started because B-Fab goes after Kiana and Julia attacks her on the floor before the bell. They double team B-Fab and she is hit with Arrivederci. I think I'm butchering that, but I'm trying my best, folks.
It's fine. It's fine.
Hits it to B-Fab and then she goes for the curb stomp. But I think she had flashes of Daniel Garcia in her mind and it delayed her from hitting this. And then Meechan's music hits. She runs down with a kendo stick, attacks Kiana, and then Julia ducks the kendo stick out of the ring as Meechan holds up the belt as B-Fab and Meechan stand in the ring with Julia and Kiana James.
Yeah. I'm honestly a little bit disappointed to see like Meechan and Julia still revolving around each other because I mean, their match died last week and I still don't really find any real spark at this point to that pairing and really not to Meechan. I think Meechan, like Zelina, just sort of exists in this like sea of mid-carders without any sort of real identity. And it's not a feud that I can get excited for with Julia.
Drew McIntyre is getting ready for his match, doing these standing shoulder flies. And then it is time to be a fly on the wall. After I decided to dig my heel into your jaw, I tricked you into thinking I was a wounded animal. I knew I had poisoned you enough, but not with venom, but with doubt. It might not be tomorrow. It might not even be next year, but the venom will run its course. I am the sickness, and you can keep fighting and live by your code, and I'll remain the sickness. Keep fighting. And you can die by that code because violence begets violence and I shall be its prophet. I want to click translation.
Oh, I love it. You should like put that into like an AI and just be like, hey, what is this? What does this mean? What do you think this means?
I think it means I'm down with the sickness.
I still partially laugh because it's like, I'm just envisioning Jimmy Snuka, delivering this promo now.
Brother, it might not be tomorrow. It might not be next year, brother. But that venom's gonna run its course.
Does it not feel like we've been hearing the same promo from Aleister Black talking to Damian Priest for like the past 4 months?
See, like, I feel he had a diary going during his time in AEW and now he's catching up. He's got months, years of these that he missed out on that we lost after 2020.
Can we just like maybe swap partners and have Julia versus Aleister Black?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Maybe Damian Priest versus Meechan, like just kind of like, you know, freshen things up because both of their feuds are just not really doing anything to advance either of them at all.
I like it. Yeah. Maybe they can speak Italian together. I don't know. Yeah.
Who speaks Italian?
Julia.
Julian who?
I'm just saying Aleister. I don't know what other tricks he has up his sleeve.
He doesn't speak Italian.
Do you know that?
I guess not. I guess you're right.
Okay. he's the prophet, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so the Street Prophets are, they have been injected with the disease of mistrust, and Aleister Black is the sickness who has injected Damian Priest with venom that might not work tomorrow, and it might not hit you within a year. This might be a long-term story, but eventually that venom's going to kick in, and Damian Priest is just going to, like, what, collapse? The poison is trickling. It's found a host inside Damian Priest.
I think it's kind of tricky when you're Aleister Black because, like, you know, you have a great sounding promo. You have a great sort of like presentation. Everything you do just looks so cool, right? But none of it resonates, and none of it to me like really, really just like means anything. But they
are my recaps worth continuing?
100% they are. I love them. Well, why do you think they're the why do you even?
I'm just gauging. I want to know what the audience feels.
No, it's for this, for the reason that I'm saying that I think it's worth, you know, you dissecting them the way they do, but like the way you are, but like they sound great, and they sound great enough to continue to do them, you know, but they just, I don't think they ever just like elevate somebody or a feud, you know?
Well, I think that there is something to be said for recapping these promos and then doing them with a Jimmy Snuka filter. I think that at the very least, even if we don't understand what he's saying, we can at least get multiple iterations of the promo out, okay?
Sure. Let's do it.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have 80 to 120 milligrams of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill for the women's title followed Aleister Black's diatribe. And Jade controls during the break where she hits a boss woman slam, as Vic calls it. And she is in control. Stratton then comes back with a cartwheel elbow into the corner. Misses, goes for the swanton and gets a two count. Jade stops a baseball slide dropkick, smashing Tiffany's face onto the apron. And it's Tiffany coming back with the rolling senton. And Jade knocks her off balance, spins her into a blue thunder bomb. And then the Alabama slam is connected. Tiffany misses the prettiest moonsault ever. And Jade hits her with a pump kick. Both go down. Crowd's getting into this. And Jade runs into the post from the edge, hitting her shoulder. And Stratton moonsaults to the floor with her own Orihara. And Jade tackles her into the timekeeper's area, and we get a count out in 11 minutes and 10 seconds. And before we get to the Nia Jax involvement, I enjoyed this match a lot more than their SummerSlam match.
I was almost like shocked at how much better this was than their SummerSlam match. I thought they did well at SummerSlam. This one completely blew that away. I think Stratton, first of all, continues to show tremendous like improvement throughout the course of this reign. You know, she continues to gain confidence in, first of all, doing whatever she already does well, but she's adding new things to her repertoire that and her athleticism and just like her gracefulness, I think, allows all of it to look relatively good. You know, like here she attempted that Ospreay clothesline counter flip into, well, Ospreay does the powerbomb, but she went to the Alabama slam. I thought that looked very cool. She moves with just like a great swagger that I mean, is very impressive for somebody still relatively new. And I think we have to give it up to Jade, you know?
Like, I thought Jade, like, she looked very good in this match. I think part of it, too, was the SummerSlam. It was almost like you had the weird dual babyface deal. And I thought in this, like, not to say Jade's a heel, but she worked like a heel in the match. And that benefits Tiffany, too. Like, I think she's still having the struggle of being a full babyface worker. But
although the audience was chanting, "Let's go, Jade."
There was some chance of that, but if you watch like how the match was laid out, it was like Jade had the heat for a long time. Like they did put Tiffany in like fighting from underneath on Jade, and I thought that did help with the match. But yeah, this was certainly not just a one woman performance. Like I thought this was definitely one of Jade's better singles outings for sure. I was very pleasantly surprised with this.
Stratton has a very athletic style where she's like, I mean, she's a gymnast, you know, she's bouncing around everywhere, and I think it takes somebody, you know, to have to keep up with that at a good rate, and I thought Jade managed to show that. This might have been one of Jade's better matches in her entire career. Mm-hmm. So yeah, great layout of the match was tremendous as well. Great near falls, and I really liked that the barricade break at the end. I thought it was well done.
Yeah, I mean, you protected both, and then they're both, you know, spent from the match, so Nia Jax comes and just lays out both women. There's a Samoan drop to Jade on the floor and then an annihilator to Tiffany Stratton, which would seem to set up a three-way match for your what you come back with here, which I guess is a match you could throw on WrestlePalooza, but this one could also easily just find its way onto TV.
Yeah, I could see that as well. Yeah, I mean, at this point, a three-way, like Stratton and Nia still feels like something we've seen already a lot. So I think it kind of shows you how thin overall the SmackDown roster is, maybe compared to Raw.
Well, I'm glad we have two women's titles then that we have got to split these divisions into as well.
Man, like the SmackDown mid card like is very thin, and the main scene is relatively thin. This is a division that really needs Bianca Belair back, like yesterday, if not.
It is wild that she has been out like this long. Like this finger has to be just a mess that she's been rehabilitating.
They lost Naomi. Like I would consider calling somebody up, or maybe several people up, for NXT at this point.
Well, there's quite a few that you could look at that could be ready for that call. Aldis gets approached by Chelsea Green and Elba Fire. They want a tag title shot, and they're doubting that Charlotte Flair's injury is real. And this is where Aldis states that Charlotte and Alexa will defend their tag titles at Homecoming on Tuesday against Izzy Dame and Tatum Paxley. So that match is now official. Then Chelsea Green and Elba Fire will get the winners of that match. So again, I love these women's tag titles and the race to get title shots in this. It's just like, have Chelsea and Elba Fire like teamed in a match?
Yeah. They had the two of them. Match. Yeah. They had the one match when Piper was,
Cause Piper
they faced Alexa and Charlotte, didn't they? No, wait, they were supposed to.
Wasn't there the week that Piper wasn't
here? They were supposed to get the title shot, and they attacked them before the bell. And it cost them the title shot because they were too injured for the match to take place.
Right. Okay. I'm trying to remember.
So they ruined their own title shot. So now I guess all this has
then they've got to be owed one, of course. Yeah. Miz walks in and Alda says, I already spoke to Hayes and I told him, if you want to grab that opportunity, it's all yours. Miz assumes that Hayes had asked for a tag title shot and Aldis is not going to clue him in to what he asked for. And then it was time to go to our video package. Part one on John Cena and Brock Lesnar, Antithesis. And we are going back to the Davis Arena in 2000. And there we have dug up some old training footage of young John and Brock, where we even get like they ramp up the volume so you can hear like a brief interaction between them of a, hey, thanks. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really like, it's really cool footage, but it's also like, maybe we can assume like the very first days of them recording everything and us having access and rights to footage of everything throughout somebody's career from your first day training in developmental to the end of your career.
Yeah. Really how cool. Would you feel about that if you go back and it's like, oh, you guys were recording me all day?
Welcome.
What else do you have?
Welcome to this company. And at this point, I think we're all kind of used to it.
What do you think the Hardys thought of when they learned about when they were being recorded? Remember that outside? And Jeff's talking about potentially being under the influence of something. This is on one of their they were doing a video on Jeff Hardy's past drug issues, and they show a clip of them and they're like mic'd up, and Matt is, I can't remember exactly what he says, but it's basically like Jeff is not in any condition in this particular moment, and they got it on camera of like
put it on the DVD.
They put it on this piece that they used. This was years ago. So they contrast Brock showing his winning the NCAA championship in 2000, executing a shooting star press in OVW, and then various videos of Cena. And then we see Lesnar coming onto the main roster right after WrestleMania 18 and just soars to the top, beating The Rock at SummerSlam, while Cena shows up to, they call it, little fanfare against Kurt Angle in June and struggled early on, nearly got fired, but then his rap character saved his career. And we go to their 2003 feud, including their matchup Backlash, and then Lesnar burning out on the road, leaving at WrestleMania 20 with a contentious match with Bill Goldberg on the very same night that John Cena won his first singles title. And part two next Friday, which I would imagine will also be the final part. Don't have any more weeks for these. But
yeah, next week is the go-home show. Absolutely. I thought this was tremendous. Like, really, really, really well done. I mean, to summarize, what, a 25-year career into, or at least the first half of a 25-year, you know, career into, like, this, I thought.
I could have used Ron Truth Killings narrating this and a joke in the middle, too. Like, I think that would have been a little more effective. I mean, it was just miraculous that we had the same show that produced this also produced that first segment in terms of building up this match. I mean, you could not have a more diametrically opposed vision of promoting a match for next week.
Yeah, I think this was everything you'd want in like a UFC type of buildup for, you know, two people, like drawing parallels to their developmental careers, to their ascents within months of each other, or their debuts within months of each other, and just comparing their ascents up until the mid-2000s. I thought this just did a tremendous job of reminding all of us who were there for it all, and to tell those of us who weren't there about why these two are so connected.
Very good video package. This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're going back to November of 1995 as Rewind Away takes a look at the Survivor Series featuring Diesel defending the WWF Championship against Bret Hart. We'll also have weekly editions of Collision Course with the carousel of co-hosts joining Kate from Montreal, reviews of TNA Victory Road, New Japan's Destruction in Kobe, and it is the Ask Away Mailbag Show as John and Wei answer your questions all this month at postwrestlingcafe.com. Vero Rodriguez is with Rey Mysterio to promote Worlds Collide. Dominic comes in stating he will become the first Mysterio to win the Mega Championship and become a double champion, and challenges Rey to come into the ring after the main event to raise the arm and wrap the belt around the winner. And Rey agrees. Like, sure, no problem. And then in our in a moment that I can only imagine we're going to get in AEW in the not-too-distant future with a top heel and a backstage interviewer, Finn Balor walks in with Vero Rodriguez and just gives her a look and says he's going to prove that he's the best. For Dominic to prove he's the best luchador, he should go out there alone tonight at Worlds Collide.
Well, he said hola to her, and then he walked away with her. So I feel like they are actually acknowledging that they're husband and wife.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think otherwise, or maybe he just would randomly take her arm and walk away. So, like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's definitely a husband-wife sign-off.
Yeah. Do you see a ring? Yeah, I see a ring there.
Okay, well then, boy, they let it all out. It's
she's now in the Judgment Day, essentially, right?
Okay, yeah.
Conflict of interest, I would say, in interviewing
another Rodriguez for the Judgment Day.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Kathy Kelly speaks with Sami Zayn, who just raves about Rey Fénix. Carmelo wants to call his shot for the next U.S. title shot, and Zayn says, that's fine, just don't miss. And Hayes turns around seeing The Miz, and Miz realizing that the title shot he asked about was for the U.S. belt, not the tag titles. Miz says, you can do anything, you just need me to guide you. And then Hayes suggests, what if I win the U.S. title and the tag belts? It's like, that's definitely not going to happen. But Miz agrees to this plan.
Well, he says, like, that's really difficult. And then Carmelo reminds Miz that he managed to do it. And Miz feels actually very proud of this. So seems like, you know, like, Melo has been hot and cold on the Miz. And this week, it seems like he's warm. He's on board with Melo, don't Miz. So we'll see. Like, reference made to NXT, of course, and in the whole, you know, Trick Melo thing, but not that much here.
Oh, he's got the tag match Tuesday, this U.S. title match that I'm presuming is going to happen next week. And maybe a tag title shot to come. And then the last half hour of the show was dedicated to Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. Orton is favoring the knee early on, and this would be the target of Drew, who would apply a figure four. And Drew ends up on the floor with him. Orton can't lift him up because of the knee, so Drew drops him on the desk and goes back to the knee and just works over this knee. Booker T says, Drew is a real man. He doesn't listen to the internet. So Orton pokes him in the eye, and that's how he turns the tide. Hits a power slam, crowd's going wild, chanting for an RKO, but Drew avoids the draping DDT and goes to the floor and gets dropped on the desk by Randy twice. But Drew rolls into the ring, and as Orton re-enters, gets hit with the Claymore and goes back to the floor. So this time, Drew is coming into the ring. He gets caught with the RKO. He rolls to the floor, and then in the spot of the match, Orton gets posted, and he's got this trickle of blood on his forehead. And as he hits the draping DDT and they're going to break, he yells, 25 goddamn years and no one's ever slammed me in the goddamn post. And he might not have said goddamn because this was censored, so he might have been a little angry here, but this was a prime Randy.
Could that be true? Does he mean like getting busted open?
I think he means getting busted open hard way on the goddamn ring post. So Randy is so pissed about this infraction, he goes for the punt, and the referee stands in his way. Crowd boos, says, oh, we want a concussion. So Drew moves out of the way, shoves Randy at the ref. He holds up, turns around, Claymore. Drew beats Randy fairly clean and then continues his attack on Randy. And he is setting up Randy for the same Claymore to the desk that he took out Cody, when all of a sudden the American Nightmare runs down, attacks Drew, hits the Cody Cutter, and says that the champ is back and he is going to see him. Not just on September 20th, and not just at WrestlePalooza. I'm going to see you at WrestlePalooza! I had time.
Is that like... You think he was directed to say it like that, or was that just the like something that he was like, hey, watch this. I'm going to make this into a thing.
I hope everyone has to follow suit now, and that is how they're going to brand this event with...
At WrestlePalooza!
Oh, boy. Will you be saying it like that on these recaps?
No. I'm starting to really not like this name for this show.
It's just a ridiculous-sounding name, but I mean, maybe that's the intent. All right.
It's not the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time.
No, it's not. Yeah. It feels like a Vince, like... choice, honestly, like that. That's what I mean. I mean, like, it's so ridiculous that like you can only excuse it by coming from the mind of like a madman. But I thought the match was really great between Orton and Drew.
It was a good match
for me. It was a toss up between this and Sammy and Phoenix as my favorite match of the night. I think it depends what you look for. Like, I think Sammy and Phoenix presented a really great modern style a match. Orton and Drew, I thought it showed you a great Randy Orton match, which means to me tremendous selling. And like very smart utilization of just, you know, a person's surroundings and just the ability to just like play with the crowd. I thought they did a great job of playing with the idea of somebody rolling into the ring
and then to get the
upper hand. Like, no, you roll into the ring first. You throw your opponent into the ring first, and that opponent ends up getting the upper hand on you.
Yes.
So then the victim ends up rolling himself out of the ring, only to be coming back in to get the upper hand. I thought they were playing with that in a pretty fun way. I thought overall the show presented some like pretty strong matches between this. Sammy.
I didn't have any, like, we only had three matches, but they all were enjoyable matches.
Yeah.
Zayn and Phoenix was, I really, really loved that match. So that was my pick.
Are you forgetting Julia and B-Fab there?
I'm not counting that as a match. So no, that was dreadful. And I was the Brock segment. It was just so puzzling. Like yeah, I just, when the segment ended, I was like, he's got to be coming out again. Cause that can't be their full usage of him. And it was, and he's back next. Like, what the hell are they going to do with him next Friday?
I hope not let him speak, because I don't think that helps him at all.
I don't know what you can do with him when there's no Cena on the show. Like, what is there to do with this guy when he's not, when he doesn't have his opponent to work off of? It's like,
well, who else is close to John Cena that Brock Lesnar can beat up?
This year? Like, no one.
He's kind of a kid.
The who? The Brussels kid. Okay.
Well, you shouldn't do that. Yeah, I don't know, because like without Paul Heyman, now Brock Lesnar is a heel, or what we're supposed to think is with him as a heel, he just doesn't have as much.
Maybe he can just come out and throw to that video package, because God knows that video package is going to do all the heavy lifting on Friday for that match.
Yeah, true. He could always attack Sami Zayn, you know, for heat.
That's true. You can always just destroy Sami Zayn. Maybe he'll beat Rey Fénix in like 5 seconds.
Oh boy, I'm really enjoying the Sami Zayn open challenge. I think that's, you know, one of the highlights of the show that I'm hoping will, you know, continue. Obviously with Melo,
the video package again, like that was like a really standout. And who can't disagree with venom and injections of disease.
I'm not as big of a fan of a lot of the mid card of the show. What do I mean by mid card? Anybody who didn't appear on the show last week, all right, the show that had John Cena and AJ Lee and CM Punk and Brock Lesnar, if they weren't on that show, they probably aren't important enough.
And with Cody and Drew, that brings us to 5 matches at WrestlePalooza. So we will see if that's the full card. But getting that confirmation after Paul. Pretty much gave us the heads up on that earlier this week, but there you go. Generally, overall, like a pretty good
wrestling on the
of
show.
SmackDown. Yeah. Yes, we are going to say goodbye on the YouTube channel for another week. But hey, hit subscribe on the way out the door, and then you know what? You will be alerting your algorithm to get only the best from John Pollock and Wei Ting,
and Davey Portman and the Cubs fan this weekend. Tomorrow, talking about Worlds Collide.
They're going to have the show up Saturday afternoon, going through the Worlds Collide event that is currently ongoing, and then a Collision Course Saturday night on the Cafe, and then back here on Sunday night for the NWA podcast. Wei and I will speak to you after Raw on Monday night from Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
If only Brock was following our site and would know John Cena's dates, which are all publicized. He wouldn't have shown up at SmackDown the week after his last SmackDown.
And something tells me he won't be on our website. Maybe he'll be clicking on the Janelle Grant stories tab.
Well, we have a whole tab on it. He can get all up to speed on what's going on. All right. Goodbye, YouTube. We're continuing at forum.postwrestling.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,